Well, hello, hello, friends. Welcome to the Not Your Child Road Safety Show, a show dedicated to road safety, sprinkled with entrepreneurship, with a hospitality cherry on top. Thanks so much for joining me today. I'm your host, Julia Matthews, aka the Breathalyzer Girl, and owner of Not Your Child Corp, a Canadian company dedicated to, you guessed it, road safety. Check us out when you have a chance at notyourchild.com. Now, as usual, we'll start off our lovely day today with a couple feel-good songs to keep you company behind the wheel. And then we head right into our discussion section, move right back into some more feel-good music, and finally, as all good things come to an end, we close with our quote of the day. So what do you say? Stick around with me for a great show? Well, buckle up your seatbelts and let's dive into the Not Your Child Road Safety Show.
I was waiting for so long. For a miracle to come, everyone told me to be strong. Oh, oh, and don't shed a tear through the darkness and good times. I knew I'd make it through, and the world thought I had.
Oh, Today we have some great music for you. And have you heard of Invest Kingston? Yeah, Kingston. Kingston, Ontario, not Kingston, Jamaica. Well, we have one of the leaders, administrators of Invest Kingston here with us today to talk about the work they do for entrepreneurs, Mr. Norman Musenjimina. And he is an entrepreneur himself. Mm-hmm. It's a great conversation. You don't want to miss it. So stay tuned for a fantastic lineup of music, of course, and a riveting conversation with Invest Kingston. So you remember my rule, right? I know you do. Don't you touch that dial. We'll be right back.
When the going gets tough, the tough get going, 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 going.
Today, we have a very special guest with us, someone who cares very deeply about entrepreneurs, or struggles, and of course, or success. Mr. Norman Musenjimana of Invest Kingston. Now, Invest Kingston was ranked first in Canada for small city startup ecosystems. Yes, indeed. So, I know you're wondering, because I have curious listeners, what is Invest Kingston really all about? Well, as we understand it, and Ms. Norman here will explain, will go into it more, but as we understand it, it is the sales and marketing arm for the city of Kingston, which is based on the attraction of new businesses to Kingston, Ontario, as well as the overall growth and retention of the existing businesses there. They therefore are dedicated to supporting the business community, keeping it vibrant, and they also work alongside domestic as well as international investors to grow the commerce and the industry of that mighty little city we love, Kingston. Now, a little bit about our guest, Norman. Well, I'll tell you this, listeners, when I met Norman, he graciously gave me some honest business advice. And it was a very dark period in my business life. It was like back to back things were going wrong. And you know what? As I always say, never, never, never be fooled by the darkness before the dawn. And he was definitely my dawn during that tough period. And I can tell you, his business savvy and his deep understanding of startups is matched only by his generosity and his kind spirit. So I had to mention that, but Norman is interesting, you know, he's interested as a person without the personal encounters. He's interested as a person because he also had a startup, and he's a startup entrepreneur himself. Yeah. Now, I shouldn't be surprised because he has deep understanding of us and our struggles. So he graduated from Queen's University, actually, with a Master's of Management, Innovation and Entrepreneurship. And he did that in 2018. So just enough time to be seasoned, but definitely not out of touch. Norman, good afternoon. Thank you so much for gracing us with your time.
Thank you so much, Julia. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, my dear. Good afternoon. Now tell us, we see you had your own startup. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Yes. So basically, I'm a newcomer to Canada. I've been here for almost 6 years. And like many of the newcomers, I came in Canada as an international student. So that's how I ended up at Queen's. When I was in the UK, Belgium, and probably in a few countries in East Africa, I never used to know Kingston. The only Kingston I know was Kingston, Jamaica. Mm. So it's when I went on Google. It's when I went on Google and I started Googling about entrepreneurship innovation master's programs.
Yeah.
That I came across Queen's University. Mm-hmm. And so upon further Googling and searching and connecting with people on LinkedIn, I learned that it was in a city called Kingston. Mm-hmm. So having never been to Canada before, I was looking, when I was booking my flights to come, I was looking for flights that fly directly to Kingston. Mm-hmm. And every cost-effective or cheap flight that I found was leading to Kingston, Jamaica. So I was confused, like, am I going to Canada? Or am I going to another small country?
Right.
And then I realized that Kingston is just like 3 hours away from Toronto, 2 hours away from Ottawa, 3 hours away from Montreal. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, probably this might be a little bit of a smaller city. So that's kind of my story about discovering and learning about Kingston. Mm-hmm. But believe it or not, the moment I landed in Kingston, it took me 1 hour to decide whether this is a place I could live in or not.
Right.
Because I had had a rough experience living, like, for example, I tried the US,
yeah,
I tried the UK, I tried Belgium, I lived in Kenya for 10 years as an undocumented refugee, I worked in South Sudan, pretty much in every East African country. So it's when I came to Kingston that I was trying, after So, you know, like international students, we come here, we rent rooms in houses or people's homes. And so I had just finished putting my luggage in my room, and I was trying to go to Queens so that I can kind of get in touch with my new reality. And then I was walking on Princess Street, and that's when my data, I was using a Belgian number at the time. So I was roaming my data, and then my data got finished. And then I was trying to move like 3 steps forward, 3 steps backwards, left, right, to see which direction the GPS will point me to. And this lady crossed the lights. She came to me, "Excuse me, are you lost? Can I help you?" And then right there, it's the first time I was in an advanced country that I met someone who was interested in whether they can support me without caring about my skin, without discrimination, without all these other things we experience in other cities where you are virtually or even physically not visible. I was excited. I was like, probably I'm coming into a city where there are normal, proper, respectful human beings. This feels like home already, right? That was my starting, the early days of my life in Kingston. And I've never left Kingston to try and live in any other city. From there on today, I've only had a home in Kingston.
Understood. Understood. Well, you know what? I think it agrees with both of you, because I'm pretty sure that Kingston has benefited from you being there as well. So that is very good that you found your place, you know? So let me ask you this. What experience did you have, or what experience having a startup led you to the work that you do now? Or did your experience having a startup, you know, help to lead you to what you're doing now? Tell us about that.
Yeah, so I'm one of those people who have been very blessed to kind of. I was born in a family that owned small businesses. My dad used to own a small business in Rwanda, and when we were refugees in Kenya, in like every country I've lived in. So I've always respected and loved the spirit of entrepreneurs because they are problem solving. You can't tell them, "Oh, you are new here, so you don't know how things work here, so you can't do nothing." I'm fighting for the survival, which is the pretty much the way every single business lives every day. So, as a human, I'm fighting for survival, and the only way I know how to survive is by overcoming the challenges facing me today and find opportunities no matter where I find myself.
Exactly.
So that's kind of how I kind of started falling in love with entrepreneurs, with entrepreneurship, and with everything to do with business. And so when I was in Rwanda in 2010, I started my first company, which I grew to a revenue for about $40,000 per year. And then that's when I got like enough resources to try to start to want to roam around the world and discover and learn more and identify new places and or new opportunities. So when I came to Canada, the program that I did, like you mentioned at the beginning, it was a Master's of Management of Innovation and Entrepreneurship. And as part of my academic work, I focused on developing probably what would have been the first global virtual entrepreneurship and startup academy at the time when nobody wanted to do, at the time where many people thought that you can't develop a virtual entrepreneur without being in the same physical space with them because entrepreneurship is hard. But I was driven to do that because I knew very well that there is no way African youth, developing countries' youth, are going to be able to have enough economic opportunities without having the power to create their own, because as you know, the birth rates are pretty high in those countries. So the population growth by far surpasses the economic growth. So there has to be an untraditional way of empowering the youth in developing countries to be able to tap into their natural resources, their natural talents, their passion, and to see how they can develop an income for themselves. So that's kind of what was the driving force behind what I was trying to do. So the company was called Biz Skills Academy. And that company gave me the opportunity to meet here, decision makers in the Kingston ecosystem, in academia, in the city of Kingston, in entrepreneurship, gave me an opportunity to meet people in Toronto, in Ottawa, in Montreal. I have even attended events in Boston, US. So it opened my life in the startup ecosystem in North America.
Right.
That was the genesis of me kind of finding a foot into the entrepreneurship ecosystem in North America.
Okay. So we're not done yet. We'll be right back after our break.
When you get your handheld breathalyzers from Not Your Child, you get a free calibration after the first year. So give yourself the peace of mind with the ability to check your own BRAC throughout the night. Get your high-quality handheld from us at notyourchild.com/driver safety and be sure about your BRAC.
Never could
Well, you just mentioned going to different places and living in different places. Tell us what, or tell us again what countries you lived in, and then tell us what that has taught you about people and entrepreneurs, the different countries, from all the places that you've been, all the places that you lived. What is the common thread that you have found that has taught you about people or entrepreneurs?
Oh, that's a loaded one, Julia. So,
Everybody always says that too. Because you know what? I really think about my guests, and I really want to, I'm naturally curious. I really want to know, like, what, you know. And so go ahead, tell me.
yeah. And let me take a bite at it. So, basically, if you count like a month as living in a country, I've been in more than 22 countries. If you count living in a country like 5 months, 6 months type of thing, I've lived in probably 7 to 8 countries. But there are some common denominators that I've kind of come across. A good person, a fantastic human being, is a fantastic human being, irrespective of religion, where they come from, their colors, their background, their cultural background, what they do, how they live, the challenges, the opportunity. A fantastic, respectful human being is a fantastic, respectful human being, no matter where they come from, no matter what they have gone through. On the other side, on the flip side, a very, very bad person, no matter how rich they are, no matter how poor they are, no matter what they believe in, they're still bad people. So for me, I often describe myself because I have a new startup that I'm working on, and I always tell people that one of the things that has made me who I am, first of all, is being born in a fantastic family. I think I'm very lucky to have a father who's over 75 years old and he's still working and more driven than probably I am. He puts me to shame. And then, over and above having a fantastic family, the other thing that has made me who I am is a fantastic network of fantastic human beings. I have been passed on from one person to the other. People saying, "Hey, have you met Norman? Oh, have you met this guy?" You know, from one person to another, from different countries, from different cultural background. So I always tell people, like, if you are new in a country, try and get to kind of get into the way of life in that country. Be genuinely interested in learning about all the fabric of that community. Yeah. So, and because of my curiosity and because I'm not afraid to make a mistake or to ask questions, I've had those opportunities to meet people, especially in areas that I'm passionate about. And then they kind of get inspired by my story, where I'm coming from. And then they kind of start kind of creating that spiral network of positive effect around me and around the things that I'm doing.
Understood. Understood. Same. In Jamaica, we have a saying, live good with people. You must, because first of all, it's the right thing to do, and it makes your life better. And really and truly, it shouldn't be that hard. You know, if you have good intentions and if you are a good person, it's not that hard to have a conscience and to live good with people and consider people, right? And the thing is, it pays off because word of mouth is a thing, right? So, and really true, right? I really do believe vibrations are a thing. So I believe that, you know, like-minded people will eventually find each other, right? Of course, we do have some people who will try to take advantage of you or not that good, but that's where discernment comes into play. And that's when you're able to see, you know, that okay, maybe that isn't for me. So I definitely 100% agree and live what you say, right? And it is true. When you're new to a country, you do as the Romans do. You find out about them. It's not a, but you don't come to someone's country and do and even something like honor killing. It's not legal here. right? See,
Yep.
you left your country for a reason. You can't bring the same things here, right? Just like in Jamaica, you can burn garbage out on the side of the street. Here
Yes.
in Canada, you cannot do that. So you have to respect the people's laws and their way of life, right? And
100%.
right, not saying that you don't hold your own culture dear. Yes, you do, but at certain ways you have to assimilate, right? And
Yes.
you should want to, especially if you are here to, you can't just come with the mindset to just take and remain the same. That's a terrible, terrible mindset. So yes, I agree with you. I
You
agree
know
with you.
how I say that, Julia?
Yes.
I say I did not leave my village where I was born to come and recreate my village
Exactly.
in
I said
this
the
new
same thing
land.
too. I said the same thing too. Norma, me and you are the same with that. Exactly right. Exactly right. So let's switch gears for a little bit, Norman. So we saw that the Invest Kingston, they help with selection, site selection. So what does that entail and how do they do that?
So basically, I think you did a fantastic introduction of who we are as an organization.
Thank you.
So the Kingston, Invest Kingston is like our branding and corporate name for an organization called the Kingston Economic Development Corporation. So it's a not-for-profit organization that is funded by three levels of government. We are funded by the City of Kingston. We are funded by the Ministry of Economic Development, Job Creation and Trade in Ontario. And some of the programs we run are federally funded, for example, through FedDev Ontario, and so on. So our primary objective is to be like the front end or the marketing arm of the City of Kingston and the opportunities that are available in this ecosystem. And then the second primary objective we have is to empower local and existing businesses to flourish, to transcend some of the challenges that they are facing today. And so, from that perspective, it means that we have a department, what we usually call like the Small Business Center, that is funded by the Ministry of Economic Development. And trade in job creation and trade in Ontario, which focuses on our local small businesses. And then you have a business development arm to the organization that focuses on attracting investors and investments in the Kingston and the Greater Kingston area. And so when it comes to big investments into the community, that's where you need to understand, do you have business parks? Do you have industrial land? Do you have the necessary amenities or resource infrastructure to help my business set up and grow? So in that sense, then things like zoning laws come in play. And so you have to help people to identify, you have to understand the requirements that an opportunity has. To set up in a community that they want to set up or in a city where they want to set up. And then once you understand those requirements, you try to translate them into existing maybe zoning maybe or industrial land, business parks, and try to find out where they fit in. So that's where the site selection aspect of our work comes in, and that is done by the business development team. We work on we have what we call an integrated economic development strategy for Kingston. And we have identified three strategic areas that you want to focus on based on existing resources in the ecosystem. So this is like, for example, sustainable manufacturing is one of the strengths of this ecosystem. And there, along with sustainable manufacturing, we find things like our businesses that are probably involved in the chemical technology space. And so that's why, if you look at, I think last year around the summer, there was a Belgian company called Umicore that invested about $1.5 billion in a nearby community here in Kingston. And that is because Kingston has over 80 years of chemical technology expertise.
Understood.
So
Understood.
they, yeah, and then the next industry is health innovation or health and science, the health science space. And then the last one is arts and the creatives. Yeah.
Understood. Understood. So basically, they act like representatives for the businesses, then, which is great. They're the voice of the businesses, basically.
Yeah, we are the voice of existing businesses, but we are also the ushers or
Yeah.
receptionist of incoming business opportunities.
Right, the liaison. You know what's funny? I just recently did some business in Kingston and I'm thinking about expanding that. So I will talk about that after. But Queen's University, I went there actually for their Frosh Week. They really love the breathalyzers as well as the date rate protection coasters. And I just
Amazing.
got an order from someone at Queen's
Oh, amazing.
for a lot of the date rate protection coasters because the coasters that we have. They're actually just paper, and each coaster has two tests on it. And if you put just a drop of drink from your straw on
Yeah.
it, if it turns blue, then that means that GHB or ketamine is in the drink. So they love
Oh.
it. So they just bottle up because of the bars and because of the students and so forth, right? And each
That's
coaster has like two tests. So that's really, really great. And the thing is, right now, if you look at it, GHB is all over the place. People are getting their hands on GHB left, right, and center, you know, and it's just so sad that we have to have that there. But yeah, and yeah, we're looking to expand in Kingston too. So that is fantastic. But we'll talk about that a little bit later to see how we may connect on that. But
And friends, that was the first part of our two-part interview.
We have a new item in stock for you at notyourchild.com/driver safety. Date rape drug detector coasters. They are 100% effective. Take some with you for you and your friends the next time you head to a party or are out at the club. Find them at notyourchild/driver safety.
Wake me up.
And friends, you know we like to wind it all down for you with the quote of the day. And today's quote comes to us from Rumi. And I quite agree with this quote. In fact, I seldomly disagree with his musings. And he says, "It's your road and yours alone. Others may walk it with you, but no one can walk it for you." End quote. Isn't it funny how our words live on? Would you like to hear it again? Yes? Okay, here goes. By Rumi. "It's your road and yours alone. Others may walk it with you, but no one can walk it for you."
Well, thanks for joining us today, friends, on the Not Your Child Road Safety Show. I hope you enjoyed it as much as we did. Remember, head to notyourchild.com/radio show to submit any questions, comments, or shout outs you want us to address on the next show. Until then, friends, I hope you continue having a lovely day. And remember our golden rule: when you feel different, you drive different. Drive sober. Ciao.
I wish they could last forever.